All right. King Curtis with Jeeps Blues. J-E-E-P apostrophe S. Jeeps Blues. And it was one of my favorites quite a while ago. I was happy to rediscover it. And I thought I would share it with you. There you are. King Curtis, Jeeps Blues. And I made some other notes. Stanley, no, is he on there? No, he's not there. Well, it's Free Your Mind Friday. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome, a very warm welcome to you. And here's what happens on Free Your Mind Friday. We suspend our regular programming, and the program becomes an open forum, and people are invited to express a point of view, preferably a considered opinion about something, whatever it is they think is worthy of scrutiny, further scrutiny and discussion and debate. But please, don't just yammer. Let's have you make a point. Tell us what it is. What is the reason that you're bringing this topic up? What are we supposed to learn from what you are presenting? At 888-874-4888. All right, you got that? 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday, and you're invited to do just that. Henry from Chicago gets us started today. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Therese, how's it going?
Okay.
All righty. Hope that you and the rest of the PRN and Elite Stories listeners have a great and productive and safe weekend.
Thank you.
Two points that I want to touch upon real quick. First of all, I hear a lot of people who are teetering on this program and on certain people that I talk to in regards to Donald Trump and his foreign policy. And a lot of people have, made this claim that, Obama has done worse as far as foreign policy than Trump has. Well, let's look at the record here. So, yes, Obama has destabilized, his administration has destabilized countries, in particularly Hillary Clinton, who was his Secretary of State. But let us not forget Donald Trump ordered the assassination of a general in a sovereign country. He is currently trying to destabilize Venezuela, who is trying to install a puppet president there. And basically, the economic sanctions that is happening in Venezuela is basically rendering that country destitute to the point of destabilizing that country. And then let's not forget the mother of all bombs. Let's not forget those things that I can go on for about 20 more minutes to talk about Donald Trump's foreign policy.
No, you can't. You can't go on for 20 more minutes.
I know that. But but in a sense, because people do not think that Donald Trump is not an imperialist, is wrong. He is the head of an imperialist country. And just like the previous presidents that had preceded him, he is following the same imperialist and racist policy, not just in this country, but across the world. Let's get that straight. Secondly, I've hear a lot of people talking about, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, then that's a vote for Donald Trump. I think that's ludicrous. I think that's preposterous. And I say it like this. In Malcolm X's speech, The Ballot or the Bullet, one of the things that he mentioned was you treat a vote like a bullet. And if you don't see a target, you save your bullet. And I say this in a sense of, and I have said this on this program before, that I am voting down ballot because I don't see a president a presidential candidate that I want to vote for. So in a sense, this is not a matter of if Donald Trump, you know, becomes president. You know, my thing is this: for people who believe that Donald Trump's second candidacy is going to throw us in Nazi Germany, well, let me tell you this. When you're talking about, say, for instance, Nazi Germany had concentration camps. Well, if you look at the state of most black people in this country, they are already in concentration camps. They call them ghettos. They call them housing projects. The Gestapo, the police.
Or they call them reservations.
Yes, or reservations.
They call them reservations before all of that.
Yes. And then if you're talking about the Gestapo, the Gestapo or the police have been shooting us for decades and killing us for decades. Under the Obama administration, under the Clinton administration, when you're talking about Amadou Diallo, and we're talking about Oscar Grant, these are people that were under previous administrations that have been assassinated. And just like with the last item that I said, I can go on for 20 minutes about that as well, and I know that I don't have that much time. But
no, you don't.
We are already in, as far as black people in this nation, we are already in a Nazi regime. And we've already been in a Nazi regime for the last 400 years. So my thing is this. Yes, Donald Trump is kind of an anomaly as a president. However, he is not unique. The previous 45 presidents or 44 presidents that have preceded him have upheld the white supremacist agenda in this country. And I will say this and I will say it again. Donald Trump is a manifestation of what this country has always been.
All right. Well, you did get us started today. Thank you.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, more than wonderful, Eutrice.
Hey, wonderful, Harvey. How you doing?
Very good, and may happiness and good health surround both you and your vast audience.
I hope for them too, yes. So what are you talking about today? What mind going to be freed up of today?
Okay. Well, one of the claims about Donald Trump is that he hasn't started any wars during his presidency. But if you look back over his 4 years in the White House, it's more than obvious that he has declared war on large segments of the American population, mainly, as previously stated, on the poor, the middle class, and Americans of African and Latino descent. He has intentionally weakened domestic environmental laws, putting all of us in harm's way. For example, air quality standards have been slashed in favor of coal, oil, and the methane industry. In the United States alone, there are approximately 194,000 annual deaths due to outdoor air pollution caused by fossil fuels, which doesn't include people who live with severe respiratory problems. And here in California, Proposition 65 tells us that petroleum and their byproducts are one of the leading causes of cancer. Another of the many examples is that the Trump administration has rolled back environmental protections for streams, wetlands, and other bodies of water, a process that has stripped pollution safeguards from drinking water sources used by a third of all Americans. My question is, how many of our men, women, and children have become ill, and how many have died because of drinking polluted water? The truth is that Trump has fought tooth and nail against clean, renewable energy production in favor of burning more fossil fuels, which has accelerated climate catastrophes, causing more out-of-control wildfires, larger and more frequent hurricanes and tornadoes, as well as severe droughts and flooding across America. Global baking is also accelerating ocean rise due to the rapid melting of our world's glaciers and polar caps, which will cause unbelievable devastation and suffering to America and her people. In other words, Donald Trump and his Republican administration have in fact declared war on our nation and the world at large with his unrelenting and savage destruction of the very thing that needs governmental protection, our beloved Mother Earth and we her children. And as far as I'm concerned, Donald Trump, you're fired. Thank you, Therese.
Thank you, Harvey. Thanks so much. 888 888- 877-874-4888. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, Bill.
I have to respond to, not as an attack, but I have to respond to some comments that Gwen made concerning the election and Donald Trump in terms of rebuttal. First comment you made is the Democrats have changed by Hillary loss, and now they're saying what we need them to say, and they're talking about things we want them to talk about. And I have to say that if they've changed, then why are they doing exactly what they did the last election, which is trying to ram a candidate down our throats that nobody wants, actually two candidates that nobody wants this time, as evidenced by both of them getting no votes in the primary, and they had to rob Bernie and basically gang up on him to get Joe Biden the nomination. So they're trying to ram a candidate down our throats again that nobody wants. And the pitch is that he's not Donald Trump. Well, wasn't that the exact same thing they did last election, is try to ram Hillary Clinton down our throats, and the pitch was she's not Donald Trump? So I don't see the change. Next comment is she said we all need to get up off our asses and get out there and do what we need to do. In other words, get up off your ass and go out and vote for Joe Biden. And I have to say, what she should be saying is, get up off your ass and do what I think you should do. It's not what we need to do. We can all decide for ourselves what we need to do. You do what you want to do, and we do what we want to do. This virtue shaming and your opinion is fact, that this is what we should do. I'm not a slave to the Democratic Party or anything else. And I think black people have been enslaved to this Democratic Party that you must give them your vote. You know, Joe Biden's, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. I'm not buying into that. I'm free to vote for whoever I want or not to vote for whoever I want. And not voting for Joe Biden is not selfishness, as she said. She said, not voting for Joe Biden is an act of selfishness. You're hurting me with your vote choice. Excuse me, I can make up my own mind. It's not selfish to vote for who I want to vote for. It is not selfish to vote or not vote. This is called free will. This is called freedom. And as far as being selfish, Joe Biden is the pinnacle of selfishness, refusing to give what almost 90% of what his voters want, because he selfishly
Bill, Gwen has called in. So do you want to speak directly to her?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Then, Gwen, here is Bill from New Jersey.
Hi, Idris. How are you today?
To what he had to say?
I heard part of what he had to say, because actually I just tuned in. So I heard, but I figured when he was calling me she, that he was probably talking about me from yesterday. And I heard
a lot
of what he said. And I think, first of all, that what I expressed yesterday was my opinion, which I'm entitled to, as well as he's entitled to. Is it Joe? Is that your name, Joe?
It's Bill. And that's exactly
Bill,
what I said.
Bill, you're completely entitled to your opinion. But as a listener to the show, what I kept hearing over and over again, and I guess I was shocked. I was shocked that I heard five people, and almost all five were just saying, I'm not going to vote for anybody, or I'm going to vote for somebody that I know it won't make a difference because of my self-righteousness, my pride, my opinion, my individualism. And it just dawned on me, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a communist, and it was very interesting listening to him speak the other day. I'm not a communist, but it was interesting because the point of view is more about holistically what's going to be right for all the people. And so what I keep hearing is a lot of people that sound like they are talking about a more communal way of living a lot of times, because I think that's what progressive thought patterns are.
But then
I keep hearing all this individual
stay
stuff.
On point. I don't need any drifters.
Okay. Well, my point is that after listening to all the people register their opinion over and over again that they were going to take their marbles and go away or vote for somebody that they knew had no chance of winning. And honestly, Bill, if I really wasn't so afraid, because what makes me so afraid is that we have definitely started wars in other countries. But this is a president who's going to start a war in this country, and it's going to be with me and other people and people like myself that could get hurt because we've been out there and seen in many, many protests. And so I'm not really up for that. I really don't want that kind of in-the-streets, hand-to-hand combat. And I don't think that it's far-fetched. I mean, I think when you see things like governors that are going to be picked up and kidnapped, and we've seen all kinds of white supremacy in this country, I don't think we're at the same place. And I think that it's very delusional thinking to think that we are like where we were when Obama was running. Or even like last time.
You haven't addressed Bill's concerns and Bill's questions. Bill, do you see?
I didn't hear
Brent addressing your issues.
No, no. My issue is that the way I vote is my free will. That is my free will. I'm entitled to vote any way I want or to not vote.
Bill, I didn't say you weren't.
Bill, I never said you weren't.
But you are certainly entitled to invite. I even told people when I ask you,
I'm pleading with you to not interrupt when he's responding in the same way he did not interrupt when you were responding. We can't hear you talking over each other.
Thank you. It is not self-righteous, as you say, to vote the way I want to vote or to not vote. It's not self-righteous. It's called freedom, free will. I am free to do as I please with my vote or not vote. And to this virtue shaming that we have to do this and you have to do this and we have to do this because I'm scared of what's going to happen, I am not scared. I don't live in fear. And as far as black people, we have survived hundreds of years of racist presidents, racist lying presidents. We've even survived a president that owned and sold slaves, George Washington. So I am not in fear of making it through four more years. I will make it through four more years. No problem. But
what?
This idea that we have to vote, we have to do this, we have to do that, I don't live like that, and I wouldn't try to promote that anyone has to do what I do or anyone should do what I do. I don't think that that is how we should act. You should say, this is what I'm going to do, and make your points of why this is a good idea, but to say that we have to do this and we need to get off our asses and we need to do what we need to do, that, you know, I bristle at that because that's not free will. That's not freedom.
Okay. Gwen, you have the last word.
Okay. So as a point of clarification, I know for a fact I did not say that anybody has to do anything yesterday. I never said that. As a matter of fact, Bill, I would never tell you what you should do as you just told me what I should do. I only expressed my concerns about where we were going with the inactions we're many of us are going to take. And I am positive that blacks had a much harder time than anybody else in the Holocaust that they have survived in this world and in this nation, and that it's still going on. My husband was black, and my husband was very abused, and I'm very attached to the culture. However, it does not make me black either. But I consider myself a very empathetic soul. And when I watch what I see happening, I guess what I understand you to be saying is, look, I'm okay with more skinheads. I'm okay with more racial intolerance, and I'm okay with, you know, maybe a civil war coming down the lane in America. You have free will. You are completely right. But I also have free will, and I, as a grown woman, should not be told what I should and should not say. This is a talk radio in an open format. All I was doing is expressing my opinion and also my frustration and disappointment with people that I thought were, in my opinion, I thought progressive meant moving moving things forward, trying to make things better, not sticking your, you know, digging your heels in and saying, I'm going to hold a grudge. I'm going to do what's right for me specifically because I don't feel like going out. And, you know, I can only say this to you, Bill. You have what you created, because when you opt out and when you decide you're not going to participate because you don't like you don't like somebody, well, then you have what you've created. I am not a fan of Joe Biden. I worked my head off for Bernie Sanders, and I, for months, didn't think I'd have to vote for him. But you know what? As I've seen things coming down the road, and I've seen, especially even where I am staying with my parents right now, when I see 100 trucks coming down the road with Trump flags and Confederate flags in this little town, and the police are with them, and the fire department is with them, this really frightens me. Maybe you haven't seen anything like that in New York, but it's happening all over America. And I think that by you're allowing Trump to come in by voting for somebody who you know has no chance of winning, that really what you're saying is, it's tacitly saying, I'm okay with Trump getting in again. Because you know that nobody else is going to get in. You have two choices. It's going to be really tight with Biden. And Biden is not going to be our savior. But I'll tell you, it's going to be better than Trump. And I also will tell you this, that nobody should just vote for Biden and then sit on their butt and say, okay, we're done. Let's get taken care of. Let's all be babysat again. That's not what democracy is about. And what's happened with our democracy is we threw it out because we stopped participating.
All right, we need to wrap up. But thank you very much.
With Donald Trump getting reelected,
you have something you want to add?
Yeah, I am fine with Donald Trump getting reelected. It's not going to be any worse than Joe Biden. It's not going to be any worse than Hillary Clinton. What you need to do is you vote for who you want to vote for. If you continue to vote for someone you don't want, then you will continue to get someone you don't want. This is supply and demand. You must make a demand in order to get supply. If you had, very simply, if you had two restaurants in your town, both of them were lousy, and you continue to buy your food at these two restaurants, then that's what you'll get, lousy food. If you go home and cook your own food and stop going to these restaurants, then a new restaurant will rise. I absolutely guarantee a new restaurant will rise to supply your demand. But first, you must demand. And a demand implies a threat. Power concedes nothing without a demand. A demand doesn't mean, I would like to have this. A demand means, give me what I want or else. What is the or else? Give me the candidate I want, or I will not vote for you. That's what the demand
here is. Here is an or else. We've got to end this right now so that we have some other people on the line who are dying to get in on the conversation. So thank you. Thank you very much, Bill. And thank you, Gwen, for interacting with each other and permitting us to listen in. Thanks so much. MJ from NJ, you're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. I agree with Henry, and I agree with Bill. I am not going to vote, and I hope Trump do get back in office. I don't believe in voting for something of lesser evil. I don't agree with that. And they're not putting anything on the table to help us. So I am not going to vote.
At all.
Just not at all. You like you always say, you go out, you know, go out and sell your, you know, go out and vote. What am I voting for? What plans do you have besides COVID?
If I might defend myself, I've never told people to go out and vote. I really haven't. I think that's a personal choice, a personal decision, and it should be, you know intimately what motivates you to vote or not vote, and that is entirely your decision.
I do agree because, like I said, there's nothing on the table for me to go out and vote. I was always a person at the polls voting, but I see no change. I don't see you just have a few people who's always doing the work. So we need a massive of people doing the work, you know, to push the agenda. So I agree with Henry. I agree with Bill. I am not going out and vote, and I don't. And if somebody is scared, oh well, we've been scared, like you said, 400 years. So, and they always want to put black people in. All of a sudden, oh, something is going to happen to some. No, I should have. You should able to bring something to the table for me to vote for you, and you're not. You're not talking to me. You're talking up over my head, so I am not going to vote. And if Trump get in, oh well. Thank you.
You'll deal with it at that time. Okay. Well, thank you, MJ. Thanks for calling in and contributing. Daryl from the Bronx, you're on the air. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay. This doesn't sound like Daryl.
No, this is Ed.
Okay, Ed. So we lost Daryl. Let me make a note of that. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
All right. You know, me and my sons is here. First of all, bravo. Right. You haven't done that in a long time. I like that. That was as close to a debate as I've heard on the airwaves in a while. And I appreciate that. Thank you. I remember you used to do that. Back in the old WBAI days when WBAI was WBAI.
Yes, I used to do that a lot. I'm going to return to that because I happen to enjoy people interacting. It is far more interesting to listen to. But because this might be new for a lot of people, you have to just ease folks into it. Yeah. And in the meantime, they get a hang of how to present their ideas on their own, and then we ratchet things up when they least suspect it.
It's very educational, and I appreciate that. Thank you. It was refreshing. People are missing the point, though. I exercise the franchise because I believe the franchise should be exercised as far as voting, whether you write in, whether, you know, the voting is a personal choice, and politics is an exchange of product, of commodities, of power. That being said, voting in this system is not really conducive because the system is not designed to recognize your vote. We had the same issue back in 2000 with Bush v. Gore. Anytime you've got a system where the most people in the country can vote for one individual and another individual can win based on the technicality of an archaic system that was basically a compromise at the end of the Civil War, it's not a system that's going to represent the people. It's akin to taxation without representation. You need to vote against the system. You need to work to abolish the system. In the minimum, abolishing the Electoral College, implementing ranked choice voting, implementing popular choice voting. There are mechanisms to do that, and that's what that's what we should be working for. Because as long as we have this system, we're always going to be the odd man out because the system is not designed to truly represent the people. It's got an archaic piece to it, number one. It wasn't designed to, and the Constitution is a living document. This government, in reality, should be flexible. And we should change to reach the dynamic. The population of this country has changed. The dynamics of this country have changed. And the system that we elect our leaders with has not. And that's the fundamental problem. It isn't so much to Trump or Biden or Gore, Bush, whatever. It's the fact that the system, by nature of its design, is inclusive to a 2/1 party system, and that's what we got to break.
All right. I agree with that. I do. Stephen from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
First point I'd like to suggest is that people who are going to not vote at all or vote for a candidate that clearly is not going to prevail, everyone seems to acknowledge at least that that's equivalent to giving a vote to Donald Trump. And then there is those who say, as has been said today, well, it doesn't matter. Donald Trump is not going to be any worse, especially for Black Americans who've suffered for all the time that they've suffered in this country. I would ask people to just consider very seriously the consequences that the entire nation and the world has suffered for the last 4 years because of the president who occupies the position today. And although everything is not going to become messianic with the defeat of Donald Trump, certainly things like the federal courts, the Supreme Court, which have been stacked already successfully by the Republicans, especially Donald Trump, which is the pinnacle of their objective over the last several decades. As been cited earlier, the environmental depredation, the handling of a pandemic that's cost many lives will cost many more lives, the ignoring science, the economic policies that overwhelmingly favor the very rich, and the list goes on. Anyone's paying any attention knows what it is. So I find it curious that the people who are willing to give a vote to Donald Trump, but they wouldn't vote for Donald Trump, I would assume. If any of them were asked, would you actually vote for him? Oh, no, 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 no. So that's my first point, that even with Joe Biden being less than perfect and other candidates being preferred, it's going to be either him or Donald Trump, and I don't think there's any contest. The other point I'd just like to make is that the earlier caller who compared American ghettos or your offering reservations for Native Americans as being equivalent to concentration camps, that it's always a very dangerous arena when trying to compare suffering, rate suffering, and I'm not intending to do that. But if anyone knows the history of concentration camps and the consequences of concentration camps, as opposed to the indefensible circumstances that people compelled to live in what are, quote, ghettos or reservations, that what they're doing is that they're demeaning a historical event that should never be demeaned while not losing sight of the fact that we have an awful historical legacy to continually deal with until it's no longer a fact. So those are the two points I wanted to share.
And well made. Thank you. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Patrick from Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Latrice.
Hi. You, Latrice.
Hi. I am not that eloquent, so kind of bear with me. For all of the people who've called in and expressed how their vote doesn't really matter and they don't like the fact that they're voting for the lesser of two evils, I have this one thing to say. Amy Barrett. Why I say that is, although, okay, you can make an argument that one may not make policy that different than the other. I kind of disagree with that, but you can make that argument. One big thing that, one big difference between the candidates is who they appoint as judges. And judges are appointed for a long time. Amy.
What happened to you? Patrick, you left me hanging. What's going on? We had a break on your line. I'm not hearing you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
We dropped out there for a while, and there was nothing. No sound.
Oh, okay. Okay. I guess I'll start from the beginning. Okay. I was saying
you need to pick up from where you left off.
Okay. I don't know where I... Okay. I don't know what the last thing you heard was. But basically, I was just saying the one difference between the candidates that is... that people seem to overlook is the judges, who they appoint.
Yes.
Because... Trump appointed Amy Barrett. She's 48 years old. If she lives as long as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's going to be there for another 30 to 40 years. And the policy that if you take into account where she leans in certain issues.
In certain legal matters when she's deciding.
There you go. Certain legal matters, that is going to make a difference. Now, Trump made it into office. He's there. Even if we vote it out, she's going to be there. And the 6-3 lean on the Supreme Court is going to be there for a while. If nothing else, if you ignore the if you say, well, girl, the policies don't matter that much. If you say, well, what one is going to do different than the other is not going to be much different than the other. That is one thing that makes a difference, and that includes everything.
But
the Affordable Care Act.
Anticipating that there will be no resistance at all to anything that people find untoward about Judge Barrett's decisions? You think that it's all going to be smooth and she's going to make a decision and then it's on to the next thing? You don't think people
are going to react? No, of course not. But the fact is that if you don't vote, okay, I'm a progressive. And I vote Democratic. If you don't vote for a Democratic candidate, and you don't vote, or you don't vote, or you vote for the Republican, you are going to get a conservative leaning Supreme Court, and that one missed vote, that one opportunity to vote, may affect issues for decades.
I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but it's your view. I mean,
people
still have the ability to independently measure the decisions of judges and evaluate the decisions of judges and to act accordingly. I don't know that it's a slam dunk that because she's on the Supreme Court, the court will suddenly become completely conservative. Hold on to the factor that we're not discussing enough, which is, what are the people prepared to do?
I mean, that's true. But it is just one more reason. Like I said, if you take the Obamacare, and Trump has been trying to end it for how long? How many times? And now he appointed a judge that is probably going to vote against it and make it unconstitutional. Just the fact that Trump made it into office and was able to appoint this particular judge has now affected the health care for decades. Yeah, I mean, guaranteed.
But we don't
going to
know
be...
that. We haven't seen a proper fight yet.
Okay.
We know what he's done. We know what he intends. And we have a very clear idea of this judge's thinking. And the judge's thinking, by the way, for the time being, is being incorrectly interpreted as law. It isn't law. That's just her opinion. It has to be fought against. And that hasn't happened yet. We're waiting to see who is going to fight it and how.
Okay. I hear you. So let me ask you a question. So okay. If she let's hypothetical. Let's say that she votes to make she and other and the other judges vote to make it unconstitutional. And now Obamacare is ended, disbanded, whatever the proper term is. Yes,
well, that's why we have. That's why we have a legislature. That's why we have a Congress.
Okay. But I'm just saying, at that point in from that point in time, until you, it is better. How does the saying go? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of is better than a pound of cure.
Sure. Yes. Well, look.
So that's the point.
I understand your concern, and I understand your apprehension. I don't think there's anybody who isn't apprehensive about how things are lining up.
Okay.
But I still say the fight has not yet begun. I'm still waiting to see who is going to be, you know, fighting for the people. Yeah, never mind what she says. What do the people intend to do about it? That's what concerns me.
That too. I share your concern.
Okay. Thanks for calling in and welcome. I don't think we talked before.
No, we haven't. This is
okay.
My first call in.
I'm glad to hear your voice. Mitch from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mitch.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, quite a few people, calling in and saying, I'm not going to participate because of this, because of that. You know, the easiest thing to do is to walk away from a problem. But to roll up your sleeve and say, look, my kids live here. I'm not going anywhere. I got grandkids that live here. I'm going to do what I can do to make a change in this system. And just by rolling up my sleeves and walking away, say, I don't want to be bothered. That's nonsense. Because, like, in the past, a lot of people have sacrificed for us. A lot. And we're standing on their shoulders. And somewhere we should show our appreciation for. All right. That's all I have to say. I'm not going to go into this big thing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for your call. David, you're on the air from Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. You know, voting will not solve the problems that people have. If you look into the presidency, we've had 45 different presidents. I can't think of a good president that was really interested in the goodness of the people. The president works for those who rule, and that's not the people. And, you know, so if you're looking for a good president, how are you going to get a good president of the chief executive who is responsible for maintaining an empire that has the potential of trying to use rule the world, as I see it? That's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing, the way that got on my mind was that called in about concentration camps. When I went to school, they never talked about concentration camps in the U.S. Now, when people were kidnapped and brought to the United States and lived here, I was told that they lived on plantations. You see, those plantations were really slave labor camps. where people were worked to death. And if people choose to call those concentration camps, that's okay with me. But we have a long history of hundreds of years, people kept being kept in slave labor camps and worked to death. So in 1896, the United States became officially an apartheid state, because that's when the Plessy versus Ferguson ruling in the Supreme Court said that separate was equal. So that put us in the category of maintaining an apartheid state in 1896, and that didn't change till 1954 with the Brown versus Board of Education ruling. So we have a very bad history about human rights, and, you know, people have to recognize that. So it's not just about voting that will make a change. It is going to be something more than just voting. And, you know, I think that is very important for people to get that in their head, that you can't just go and vote for the one choice you have of the two people in the same uniparty and make a selection, because they don't work for you, the citizen. They work for the ruling class who runs the country, and they run the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and we have to do something more than just thinking about pulling a lever for one
vote. Kind of disappeared toward the end there, David, but that was not your fault, I don't imagine. Well, we've come to the end of our program today. David, are you still there? No, he's not there. We've come to the end of our program, a great program, and I thank Brother Ed from Jamaica, who kind of encourages that we revive one of the things that I used to do, which is to team people up. They don't have any idea they're going to be teamed up, but they are expected to debate a point, one way or the other. And we used to have great fun with it, but it was also a great learning experience. So thank you for remembering that. I want to thank you always for making a major effort to be relevant and to take this seriously as you do, because everybody's learning, myself included. We listen, we learn. And so you are our educators when you are in this forum or any other forum on lead stories, but it helps for you to remember that, so that we make a strong effort to operate at a higher level, if you understand my meaning. So I thank you for rising to the challenge, and I thank you for your input and for taking it seriously, as is evidenced every time we have the Free Your Mind Friday. Thank you so much. It is the weekend, and you should take it easy. I don't want to rule your life, but you should take it easy. There are enough stresses in life that you have to deal with every single day. Some of them you're not even aware of. Stress has become so normal, you don't pay any particular attention to it. But you should get into the habit of keeping stress at bay. Don't internalize it. Don't let it overcome you. And you can do that by surrounding yourself with people who bring good things into your life, and they give you a reason for expanding your mind, expanding your life, giving it meaning. It is a very good thing to do. So try doing that this weekend. Surround yourselves with people who mean you well and who bring good things into your life. That is worth a lot more than a doctor's visit. I can tell you that. So thank you once again for calling in and contributing so meaningfully. And let's meet up again on Monday and see what else we have to say to each other. Bye-bye.